We're going to talk about resurrection a little bit more. And the question has arisen over 22 years. In fact, Larry's been asking this question for 15, 18 years. What happens? And I can tell you, I don't know all the answers, but I do know some of the things. One, the word resurrection is only mentioned in the New Testament, and that is Matthew, Mark, Luke, John through Revelation. Matthew through Revelation is the only place it's ever mentioned. Never mentioned in the Old Testament. The word resurrection has, though, yes.
Now, when you say resurrection, I got a little confused last time.
Yes.
Are you talking about the resurrection of our Lord? Are you talking about the resurrection of the body when the Lord meets us? I was a little confused because are there not different types?
Yes. But all the resurrection, and that was my point. Brenda said I probably did confuse some people. So I'm going to try to straighten that out. I hope Scott and Michelle up in Georgia are watching. They sent me an email. And hopefully I can clarify. Resurrection is a general process. It is not a dispensational process. Resurrection is an act of God. You all understand? Resurrection doesn't matter if it happens to Israel. Doesn't matter if it happens to the body of Christ. That doesn't matter. That's not the issue with resurrection. Resurrection is the point of eternal life, of a realization. There is a resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, a resurrection of Israel, and a resurrection of the body of Christ. Separate resurrections. You all understand what I'm saying? That is, they are uniquely different, the Lord, Israel, and the body of Christ. But resurrection functions the same in all of them. That is, there's no indication, if you will, in your Bible that the resurrection for the body of Christ, other than where it's going, would be different than the resurrection for Israel. Does that make sense? Go like this. Does that make sense? What I'm saying is that the resurrection is the same except where they're going, what they're resurrected to, and different time. But the resurrection is exactly the same. And you say, well, resurrection's not mentioned in the Old Testament. That's true, but the doctrine is there. Go to Genesis chapter 22. Go to Genesis chapter 22. And if you will, go and get Hebrews chapter 11. One hand you should have Genesis 22. And with the other one, Hebrews chapter 11. But turn to Revelation. I'm sorry, turn to Genesis 22 first. Sorry about that. Sorry about that. In Genesis 22, I want to start in verse 5. Genesis 22, verse 5. Read with me if you will. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. By the way, this is a picture of God the Father walking with the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. He said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place where God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac and his son. And about this time, I imagine Isaac's thinking, but God, you said the Lord would provide this thing. And laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Now, would he have done that if he had believed the promises of God? What was the promises of God? That his seed would outnumber the stars, right? Well, how could that be if he's about to kill his only son? You have to believe in resurrection. You have to believe in resurrection in order to do that. You say, well, it's not mentioned. Yeah, but it is mentioned in Hebrews 11. Look, if you will, in Hebrews 11. Go to Hebrews 11. I'm going to put my specs on me. I'm straining just a little bit to read. Hebrews 11. And read with me in verse 19, I believe it is. 18. Of whom it was said that Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Y'all understand? Hebrews 11 verse 19 matches Genesis chapter 22, 5 through whatever verse we were reading there. You'll need to put that in your Bible. So resurrection is in the Old Testament. It's a doctrinal issue there. And there's no way of getting around it. Resurrection is foundationally the part of the thing. And I hope I can get through all that I want to get through. Go to Psalms, if you will. And there are other places. I didn't go to all the places. What? I can't get my pages to separate here. 16. A verse that is used in Acts chapter 2 as a quote about the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, Psalm 16, verse 8, I've set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad. My glory rejoiced. My flesh also resteth in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life in this in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Well, you couldn't believe that without believing in resurrection. David believed in I want to give you a couple examples. In the New Testament, hang on, before we do, I want a couple more passages. Go to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. In Isaiah 26, listen to these terms. Verse 19. Thy dead men shall what? You know, that's the power of God, folks. The power of God is that He can cause dead men to live again. The hope is dead men can live again. The hope is in heaven. The hope is, the hope is resurrection out of the grave. The releasing of the body out of the grave. You say, well, it can't live. Well, that's the power of God, and that's Ezekiel 37. But God gave some great examples. Watch this. Thy dead men shall live together with my dead body shall they rise, arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. Well, where is the dust? It's what you become in the grave. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Dust thou art and dust thou shalt what? That's what you are. Mark Rumfeller did a message one time of 2 pounds of dirt. That's what you are. For the dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. See that? The whole idea is cast out the dead. I mean, you can't mistake that the doctrine of resurrection is in the Old Testament, even though the Word is not there. Now, when we take definitions from the Word of God, you start from the very beginning and you start looking through the Bible and you start getting a definement or a understanding of what resurrection is. To this point, what do you think resurrection is? Being in the grave and coming forth out of that grave. Would everybody agree with that? That's what it sounds like to me. There hadn't been one inkling really of anything different about people that are asleep. Go to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. I know this concept is hard. I know we've been told numerous things. Mainly by churches that teach Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that we're going to go to heaven and we're going to see pearly gates and streets of gold. Amen? And that there's going to be mansions. And he said in John 14, I would have told you if it wasn't so. And so he's obviously going to make us a mansion. And we get this concept that we're going to heaven. When that city isn't going to heaven, it's going to come down from heaven on earth. Yet, I asked another guy today, I've been asking people all along, hey, what do you think heaven looks like? Pearly gates, streets of gold, mansions. Ask them. Ask all your friends. What do you think heaven looks like? Well, what do you think the city looks like? Well, what city? Well, the city that's coming down from heaven. Now, in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, and many of them that sleep and the dust of the earth shall awake. Now that's very interesting. Where are they asleep? Now, I've heard all kinds of stuff. But everything I've heard so far is I know they have burial ceremonies. And I know they carry those bodies around that are dead. And we use what to do that? Pallbearers, right? And the pallbearers carry the body. And the question came up from Larry, well, does the soul float along with it? I don't think so. But wherever that body is where the resurrection, I believe, is going to happen. Did I make that clear enough? Wherever that body is where the resurrection is going to be. You all understand? I'm saying where the resurrection is where that earthly, whatever less of that dust that you are, is where the resurrection will be. Do I need to say that again?
Basically, it all comes in one spot.
It is obvious to me by all the scriptures I just read, and I haven't finished, that the resurrection will come back to that body.
Even though the soul and the spirit is not.
Well, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. I mean, this stuff starts to become fascinating. I really dove into it the last 2 weeks of my life, and I'm like, man, I'm thinking different thoughts than I've ever thought. But so far, wouldn't you agree that it sounds like the resurrection is whatever bones or dust there is, that they're going to come back to life? And Ezekiel 37, that's exactly what happens, right? All right, let's try a couple other passages. Look, if you will, in Psalms 6. I want to start in verse 4. Psalm 6, verse 4. Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? I mean, what would it be good if a man dies? He can't give the Lord praise and honor. He can't sing songs and give him glory and honor. He's dead. So, what? He's asleep. There's no remembrance, no, I mean, come on. Do you all see what it is? You say, well, I don't know. Well, you come up with other verses because I've about searched this thing out. I'm telling you, there it isn't like what I thought. Look in Psalms 30. Psalms 30. Verse 3. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pits. Folks, he has the power over the grave. Don't you understand that? He's able to keep people that have become nothing but dust and bring life back into them and give that person life. That's the hope. Am I doing anything wrong?
Not yet.
Psalms 49. Look, if you will, in verse 14. Psalms 49. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. I'd put 1 Corinthians 15 in there, verse 53, if I was going to write a note in my Bible. I think it's 53 and 54 where it talks about, O death, where is thy, O grave, where is thy victory? Right here. The power will redeem thy soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. For how long? Forever. Is it 55, 56? All right, 55, 56. Now, Psalms So resurrection is part of the key. Now, go to John 11. There is an example of resurrection. John 11. And I want to start in verse 1. John 11, verse 1. Now, this was a fascinating story. It has to do with resurrection. And there's interesting facts about it. And I thought about this a lot. I have no other examples, no other conversation of resurrection other than the ones I've got in this Bible. Now, I can invent some things, and I can come up with some doctrines that may or may not be true. But if I'm going to get my doctrine from a King James Bible, if I'm going to get my doctrine from a Bible, there's got to be some examples. Well, Lazarus is an example. Now, there's some unique things about the story of Lazarus and resurrection that I find fascinating. For a couple reasons. Now, there was a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And Jesus heard that. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, he to his disciples said, let us go into Judea again. And his disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and thou goest thither again? And Jesus answered, art thou not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things he said after that he had said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Now here's a exact resurrection story. You all understand? Resurrection is very important here. Why? We know that Lazarus is what? He's dead, he's sleeping. He says, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. Remember that Paul said, we're not going to prevent them which are asleep in Christ. God ain't going to leave them in the grave. The whole idea is resurrection. You got it? The whole idea is resurrection. It has nothing to do with the rapture. It has to do with the resurrection, the dead coming out of that grave. Now, notice a couple things. Then said he, his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of him taking the rest in sleep. Now, that's very important to understand. Because even today, we think everybody's going to heaven and they're finding rest and whatever, or that sleep is sleeping on a bed. But here, the sleep is death itself, waiting for what? Waiting for resurrection. Now, then said Jesus unto them plainly, say it with me, Lazarus is dead. I mean, these people are dumb. I mean, when you have to go, okay, Lazarus is dead. Do you get it now? Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go on to him. Now, verse 17. And when Jesus came, he found that he had laid in the grave for 4 days already. So, okay, I'm going to put Lazarus is laying in a grave. There he is, right there. Now, it's a hole in the ground, and they got rocks tied up. But it's a hole in the ground. Y'all with me? Say yes or no. He's in the ground, right? Now watch. Verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had laid in the grave for 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh under Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, now boy, we're getting ready to get some important words here. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know, now listen to this, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou shalt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said unto him, thy brother shall rise again. And look at her response. Martha said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. How clear is that? Did Martha believe in resurrection?
Yes.
Yeah, she believed in resurrection. What did she believe was going to happen? The brother that was laid in the grave was going to come forth out of that grave. Now that's the teaching of resurrection. That is resurrection, coming forth out of the grave. And Jesus makes an incredible statement. You need to underline this. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Boy, that's it. That's the whole thing. That is 1 Corinthians 15:55, folks, and 56. That's what it's all about. Hey, those people that are died, God's not going to leave them behind. God has the power over the grave to cause the dead to come forth out of the grave. Say, well, how does all this work? Well, let's see. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, which should come into the world. Now, he hadn't died, but she believes that he's the... What gospel is that?
The gospel of God.
It's the gospel of God. How was that proved? His resurrection was the proof. As Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The proof that he was the Son of Almighty God, that he's Jesus, the Christ, was the resurrection. Now, he hadn't resurrected, so she's taking this by faith. Boy, you guys are great. Are y'all getting this? Are y'all learning anything tonight? I mean, you guys got to understand that this whole thing has to do with a grave, a body, and the power of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection. I am the resurrection, he said. Now watch. Verse 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now, Jesus, was not come into the town, but was in a place where Martha met him. And the Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, she arose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. And when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in spirit and was troubled. I think about people. I've done funeral after funeral. They stand on that front row. Well, don't you believe that God has the power over the grave? Where's the faith of these people? And that's what troubled Jesus Christ. That's what distraught him. They didn't believe in resurrection. Why are you worried? I mean, come on. Well, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and He's your personal Savior, is He going to leave you in the grave? No. Yes, ma'am.
I think that's why I heard my grandmother say, when a baby is born, you ought to cry, but when someone dies, you ought to rejoice and be happy.
Well, and that's biblical. Yes, that's true. That's actually quotes out of the Bible. He's troubled in spirit. And said, where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. You know why he wept? He wept because of their unbelief. He didn't weep for Lazarus. He wept for those people that were Jews and all that. I bet you're getting a whole new picture of this story. Amen? Amen. Carlton, is this new to you today?
I thought he wept for Lazarus.
No.
No. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved them. And he can't get over it. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused even this man should not have died? And Jesus just can't get over it. And Jesus, therefore, again groaned in himself, coming to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone laid upon it. Now, this is the fascinating thing. Terry, this is what I was studying. Larry, what we talked about. Watch this. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Now, in the resurrection, what do you think is going to happen? With all the scriptures we've given before, the Old Testament, the Psalms, and all those things that we talked about earlier, what do you think is going to happen?
He's going to call Lazarus and he's going to get up and walk.
That dead body that had no life in it is going to be resurrected. And you know where it's coming from, Terry? Where do you think it's going to come from?
The bodies?
Yes. It's going to come forth out of that grave.
The body is, yeah.
Now, well, how did that happen? That is resurrection. Don't you understand?
It ain't coming out for some minute, though.
Yes, it is.
I mean, without something in it.
But he's got the power to do that. Now think about that. Say, where did his body go? Well, maybe there's a place called hell. And there's a place called Abraham's bosom. Or paradise. And in the middle is a great gulf fixed. Now, I know that there's a story in the Bible that gives us some information. There were two people that died that day, a rich man and another Lazarus. The rich man died and they put him in the grave and he went to hell. And he was in torment the immediate minute it was there. This other Lazarus died. They laid him in the grave too, but he went to Abraham's bosom and was comforted. Y'all with me so far? And so Lazarus, I'm sure something happened to him. I believe that he went into Abraham's bosom. Y'all with me so far? Say yay or nay. Jesus Christ walks to the grave. He calls from the grave, and I believe that whatever was down here, his soul or whatever, comes back into him and gives him life. And that body comes out of the grave. One, I have the story in Luke 16 about the rich man and Lazarus, so I know what's going on there. Amen? I know that Lazarus is a believer probably because his sister is a believer, both of them, and he's probably a believer too. He's in Abraham's bosom because it separates. The body's dead, right? I mean, it's cold to the touch. And he comes forth out of the grave. How's that possible? The power of God. He said, I am the resurrection and I'm the life. And this whole story was given in the sense that you would understand resurrection. That's why the story was in the Bible. All the Bible is written for our learning, that we through comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Paul would have heard that story. Paul would have had the Old Testament stories of Abraham, the Psalm stories. He'd have had all that. He'd have understood resurrection only in one direction. There is no sense that Paul ever got something uniquely different about resurrection other than there's a new group that's going to be resurrected as the body of Christ, and some of them will be alive. Now, that had never been talked about. That's a mystery. And he says it's a mystery. But resurrection is not a mystery. Resurrection had been taught all the way through the Scriptures and the same thing. So let's see what happens. Verse 42. I thought about this a lot. How about Jesus Christ? I'm not going to spend a lot of time on Jesus Christ's resurrection. When they looked in the tomb, what did they find? A body? No, they didn't find the body. Why? The body had been resurrected. But I know that Jesus Christ went into hell for 3 days, right? He went down. He died on the cross. He was dead. They laid him in the tomb. And he preached 3 days in hell. But what happened? He came back and resurrected. What did he resurrect in? In the body. It was a body. It was his body, his bones and flesh. Y'all understand? Watch this now. Well, it had a different capacity, but it was the same body, but it had been changed as our bowel bodies will be changed. But it's still going to be that body. Huh?
Mary or
he said, I haven't sent it up onto the Father yet. Now watch. Verse 42. And I knew that thou hast heard me always. He's talking about God, God the Father. I knew that thou hast heard me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe as thou hast sent me. And when thou hast spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot in grave clothing, and his face was bound with a napkin. I mean, what did raise from the grave? A body. Covered with what? Grave clothes. Is this the exact body that went in the ground? Terry, yes or no? Carlton, yes or no? That's the body. It isn't. I mean, you'd have gone in that grave. Whatever was laying in there ain't laying anymore. It's standing up, walking. Sorry about that. You got it? Jesus laid in the tomb. Went right up through the rocks. Angels rolled away the stone so they could see in there. But he was already gone.
Okay, Lazarus was the same body. He hadn't changed, but Christ was the same body, but he was different because he couldn't.
It wasn't different. It was a soulish body. It has to do with. It has to do. It's going back to Ezekiel 37. What gathers together? The dry bones, and then what happens? The flesh comes upon you. Then what happens? The wind goes in, and they come to life. What is that that's being resurrected? That dead body. His body, it went into the earth as a burial in the grave, and then he went into hell. And then he gets called up by the Father again, resurrection. He comes back into his body and out through the grave.
If he hadn't, his body still would have been in the grave.
It would have been in the grave and they would have seen it.
Well, the mausoleum crypt is the grave.
Absolutely.
Anywhere on earth that your body is your grave where you die.
Absolutely.
Where you're laid to rest.
Say, well, you can't find it. It can be in the middle of the ocean. It doesn't matter. Do you all understand? Huh?
Lazarus was not so like Jesus was.
Yes, he would have been. Whatever being born again from the dead was, is what Lazarus was and what Jesus was and what Israel will be. Y'all understand?
Christ rose and went to be with the Lord.
Yes, he did.
Couldn't do that because he couldn't flesh.
He was not. Again, the hope is not for them to go to heaven. The hope was never for resurrection to get people into heaven. Resurrection was never intended to get people into heaven.
Well, Lazarus wasn't holding the Son of God anyway, so he wouldn't be going back to heaven.
Where would they have been born again on?
Earth.
The earth. Lazarus is the type of that resurrection. There is no doubt. Jesus Christ on earth is a type of that resurrection. While he's walking around earth, you say, well, he could go to heaven. Yeah, but he is special. Huh? He never promised Lazarus heaven. Why would he take Lazarus to heaven? He was in whatever body an eternal body would have been.
He was different,
but the resurrection is still a physical resurrection of the body that was laid in the grave. Patty, are you getting this? It's laid in the grave. In both instances, there's only two examples. Who are they? Lazarus and Jesus. Let's look at their resurrection. What happened to their physical bodies? Were they left in the grave, yes or no?
No.
What happened to their body?
They came back to them.
Somehow. Now, listen. I got to tell you, I ain't ever seen it.
What about Esau? He was taken.
We don't know where he was taken, where he was done, or what he was done. You can't apply that to resurrection. That you can't apply to resurrection. You'd have to artificially try to make it fit. This is resurrection here, guys. So give me an example that you would think of something else. one example in the Word of God that would explain these two resurrections. Well, and I can't find one.
It comes to mind that Abraham was resurrected. No, well,
he wasn't resurrected yet. He's waiting.
He's in paradise, apparently.
Waiting for resurrection. What is resurrection? One day, everybody in paradise will enter back into those bodies, and that's Ezekiel 37, and that's the resurrection that Martha was talking about in the last days. Y'all understand?
But Abraham was awake because he spoke. He spoke.
Hang on. That's what I'm trying to divide. These people are sleeping, but whatever they were is conscious down here. This man was in torment. This man was comforted, the Bible says.
And Abraham could speak.
And Abraham could speak. But these guys can't speak. And that's where they're ultimately going to be resurrected from. Y'all with me so far? So Terry brought up a good point. What happens to us? Well, I believe you live on this earth and you die and I do the funeral. We're going to bury your things. You're going to be cremated and we're going to spread your things and God will just take a little extra time to put you together. I'm joking. And when you die, you're asleep in Christ. Where is in Christ?
Everywhere.
I don't know. But is it in heaven? No, because it's waiting for what?
Resurrection.
Resurrection. And when God gives the shout, there's the shout, woo! I believe you'll enter back in your body just like they did in resurrection, and you will be resurrected from the dead.
And then we'll be changed.
You won't need to because whatever body you're resurrected will be eternal. You will change if you're still alive because you haven't died. The person that's still alive, it will change.
We're going to be clothed with our incorruptible body, but the soulish body is incorruptible
too.
It becomes a quickening spirit.
It's a soulish body. The soulish body is incorruptible too then.
Yes, it is. Anything in resurrection form, whether it's a soulish body or a quickening spirit, is eternal. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because just like Martha thought, go back to John 11, where we read in verse 24.
A soulish body is earthly and a quickening spirit is heaven.
I could live with that definition, but I mean, you know, don't get too hung up. They're both eternal.
That's what it appears to be.
They will have physical bodies that will look just like them. I don't know that we will have an image that you can tell. Why? We're not going to wear our own image, guys. We're going to wear His righteousness. We are the glory of Christ. Romans chapter 8. You all understand? I don't know that we will wear these physical bodies in resurrection. I believe we will wear His righteousness and all that filleth all in all. That's the body's whole purpose, is to be the temple of God for all eternity.
But we will know each other.
We will know each other.
And I'll be able to run.
You will be able to run. Won't even need to run. You'll just jump and then you're there. You'll be jumping. All right? But the thing I want you to understand is nobody makes it into the resurrection until the time comes when there's a shout and the voice of the archangel. And the dead in Christ shall what? They're in Christ, they come back into their body, and they stand up right next to us, which are alive. And then we're caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air.
Let me make sure I'm understanding now. Abraham's bosom or paradise
is for Israel.
It's for Israel.
Yes.
But the word paradise is mentioned and Paul mentioned paradise.
Well, yeah, there's multiple paradises. So, yes.
Paradise is a place that we could, in Christ, is
where we're going.
It's where we're going.
We're going in Christ if we die.
But it won't be like the paradise that Abraham was in.
Well, other than there's comfort and you'll be in the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the what? Are y'all getting a picture of all this? Guys, this is the way it is. Unless you can come up with some other resurrection.
I still, in my mind, though, think it really doesn't matter in terms of our perception of time. I think it all is, as far as we're concerned, it could be an instantaneous.
It will be. It will be like that. Paul, who is dead, will wake up and think, man, it just happened. That is true, because time doesn't exist down here. The only place that time exists is above that line. That's exactly true.
But if you have to describe it to someone...
I'm describing it in time.
In this flesh, it's the only way we can understand.
When did Jesus Christ drop off into hell?
When he died.
He was on the cross still. He just stepped out of his body and plummeted into hell to go preach. He didn't have to wait for him to bury him. The moment he died. So the moment you die, you'll go into Christ and we'll do what? We'll bury your body. Then what's going to happen? There's going to be a shout. The voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall what? And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air. That's the events. Huh?
What about the body?
The body is going to resurrect. It isn't going to be the... It won't be flesh. They'll drain your blood out before you go into that grave. Trust me. Yeah, you do need that body for resurrection, because in every instance, every single instance in a King James Bible, every instance, the body has been removed. The physical body. Was it changed? Probably. Did Lazarus have blood in him? No, they bled him back then too. So how did he live, Terry? That body somehow was uniquely made. Why? Jesus Christ is the resurrection. Let's try Ezekiel 37. See, the problem that we're fighting is we're thinking in two linear terms. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. But you understand that in Jesus Christ's, what happened to his body there, Terry? And Lazarus' body, what happened? How could a body that has no blood in it, no life, no breath, come forth out of a grave? It is the only answer is the operation of God. Now, what happened to his physical body? Was it in the grave? Huh? Did it come forth out of the grave?
Yes.
How did it do that? By the power of God, it's called resurrection. Jesus Christ died on the cross, stepped off into hell. They bury his body. They come to the tomb. Read the story. He said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. When they looked in the tomb, where was the body?
Gone.
Your body is coming out of the grave. Okay, I should have brought at least one little hallelujah
somewhere.
You are not going to be left in the grave. Say, well, what does he want to do with his old stinking body? Well, the flesh by this time, I think Paul's would be rotted off. Right? And I doubt he has much more than dust to claim for himself. Right? Well, look at Ezekiel 37. That's the whole point of Ezekiel 37. Isn't this good stuff?
Amen.
I mean, you don't get this at some McDonald's. You don't get this at McDonald's.
The term dissolve.
The what?
Dissolve.
That's a great term, dissolve. Did you all hear Mac? He said, when these bodies of this tabernacle are dissolved, I mean, it doesn't sound like it's going to be used. Well, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither can flesh and blood live forever. So whatever came out of that thing started as a body, but by the time it came out, Lazarus was eternal, and the same thing was true of Jesus Christ. Same thing true with these people in Ezekiel. Show me one instance that the body was left in the grave to rot. Show me once. Every instance it talks about going to the grave and that it'll come forth out of the grave. In every instance, in every point of resurrection, that is the case. It isn't like, hey, it may be, I'm not sure. Well, then come up with a verse. It ain't there. I just spent 2.5 weeks studying this thing. I'm like, show me. I want to know. But don't tell me that the body's left in a grave somewhere, because according to everything that I read, it's coming up. Ezekiel 37 is an example. I have Lazarus in the New Testament. I have Jesus Christ. Let's try this. And the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out of the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. Ezekiel 37 verse 1. Which was full of bones. And I imagine there's not much skin or blood. Wouldn't you imagine, Terry? Huh? They're dry bones. That's what he calls them. Folks, there's no flesh and blood here. So watch what happens. And this is the actual enactment of God's power upon the grave. That's why he put it in the Bible. And he put something on them, but he doesn't put flesh and blood. He doesn't pump their blood back into them, boys and girls. Yeah, but hey, listen, why do I know? If they have flesh and blood, what do we know is going to happen? They're going to die again. Now look what happens. All you can do is with what the Bible says. You can't invent your own doctrine. Watch this. Isn't this important, guys?
Amen.
I mean, people are walking around confused. And he causes me to pass them round about. And behold, there was very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he asked this prophet, Ezekiel, and he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? I can answer that question. Yes, those bones can live. Say it. Yes, those bones can live.
Yes, those bones can live.
You know what he asked? He's not sure. He had never seen it happen. We've actually heard of it happening. He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones. Say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. As in like the shout, like the call of Lazarus in John 11. Lazarus, come forth. Okay, that was a little undramatic. I thought that was going to be a little more dramatic in that aspect. And he saith, Lord God, unto these bones, behold. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 5. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Now, I don't know what's going on, but what did he just say? How do breath enter in when there ain't no lungs? I don't know. But I'll tell you what it is. The power of God. Everybody. The power of God. And I will bring sinew upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, didn't say blood, and cover you with skin, didn't say what kind, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, for ye shall know that I am the Lord. Now, what do you think is going to happen with those bones? Are they going to stay in the ground?
No.
Where are they coming out of? They're coming out of the grave. What happened to Lazarus' bones? They came out of the grave. What happened to Jesus' bone? What about those that have died in Christ before us? Thus you have resurrection. Now, how many here got a little bit better understanding of resurrection today than they did Sunday?
Amen.
A little bit? Okay.
So what is sinew?
Sinew is strength. Power. Now, the point that I'm making with this is they come to life. And they come out as a great army. And he's able to do that to all the graves because he's not the power of the dead. He's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. And say, well, it's impossible. Well, I would recommend you thinking that with all things God, all things are possible, and that he won't leave flesh and blood. And flesh and blood have been taken out, and he doesn't need the flesh and blood, but he needs who you are. And somehow, that's the entrance point to resurrect you out of the grave. Now, I bet you never heard that in Sunday school. And in every example of resurrection, every single example, the resurrection was from people that had died and their bones were in the grave and their bones and whatever came out of the grave and wasn't in the grave anymore. Ezekiel 37, John 11, Matthew 28. There are no other examples, Terry, Larry. I don't know any more truth to teach you. If you haven't got it now, you're probably never going to get it. Okay? Where is in Christ? Ask me that.
Where is in Christ?
I don't know, but somewhere in Christ.
But if you're not in Christ,
then you're going to hell.
There's no peace outside of God.
That's right. The peace and the comfort is being in Christ. So people say, well, why would you want to be absent from the body if you're not going to be in heaven? Okay, let me see. Would I rather be here than struggling with this planet and the children and the grandchildren and the tribulation we're going through and all the pain and the things our country is getting ready to go through? I'd really want to stick around for that. No, we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon. You all understand? I want out of this body. That's why Paul says to die is to gain. To be at rest in the Lord, to be at peace, waiting for that glorious day when there should be a trump, the sound of an archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And you know what? I believe I will see the Apostle Paul in the resurrection at the same time I see my son, if I'm still alive. And that's my hope. And you know what he said? Comfort one another with these words. And he talked about resurrection just about more than anybody in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 15. And that 55 and 56 about the grave is the whole issue of what was in resurrection from the Old Testament all the way through the New. No, my point exactly. It was part of the resurrection, part of the hope of being brought back alive in these bodies, That was my point of the sermon.
Yeah, because the very word is used in the Old Testament.
Absolutely. This concept wasn't new to Paul. What was new to Paul was that we which are alive and remain will be caught up together without having to die. That was the whole catching out mystery. Resurrection was never a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That's the mystery. We shall not all sleep.
So, do you think that when we're at the rapture, our dead bodies are in the ground?
Well, hopefully yours will still be alive. Unless Lisa kills you,
I'm just saying, anybody, me, whatever. Our bodies are in the ground. The Lord gives the shout, the voice of the archangel, that in Christ rise first. So we're gonna, wherever we are in Christ, you believe is gonna come up into that body, put on
whatever that is.
Let me get my camera on you first. I lost you there.
Well, he should have me.
Well, Lisa said she did. Evidently, she was still on.
Well, both of you guys are sleeping. You guys might be asleep in Christ already. If people wonder what being asleep in Christ is, look at my two cameramen.
So we're going to resurrect into this body, and it's going to live again.
Yes.
And at that moment, we're going to be resurrected. Then he's going to change our body again.
No, he didn't say that. He's going to change the ones that are alive. Just like whatever body, hang on, let me explain. Whatever body Lazarus got when he came forth out of the grave did not need blood. Amen?
Amen.
The people in Ezekiel 37 didn't need that, right? You will be resurrected into a body, but whatever comes out of the grave will be eternal.
Amen.
You got it? It's not going to look like this body. You'll be able to walk through walls, whatever, you know. It's a different body than what we have here. The change happens in that body. He causes skin. I have no idea what kind of skin, but it doesn't need blood.
But in the end deal, when we're caught up,
the only one that has changed according to 1 Thessalonians 4.
I was going to say.
Okay.
We're both caught up at the judgment seat of Christ.
Right.
Okay, we're all together there in the air with the Lord. We'll all have the same kind of body.
That's true.
Even though
you have not
the
died.
The ones that are alive are changed and we're raised in Christ.
Why do we need change? Thank you, that's exactly right. According to the Word of God, yes, Terry, according to the Word of God, Ezekiel 37, John chapter 11, and Jesus Christ's resurrection, yes, that's true. Now, do you have one that says bones can't? See, there's only three examples I've found in the Bible.
I'm just trying to
Ezekiel 37, Jeremiah 11, John 11, and Jesus Christ's body himself.
During the tribulation,
yes.
Those two prophets, are they examples of resurrection?
They are the example of resurrection. In fact, they get killed, and what happens? They resurrect. They are an example of resurrection. And what happens to their bodies? They walk around in them.
They stand up.
They stand up, guys. I mean, every example in a King James Bible, every one, not one, said anything about bones being left in the ground. Not one. Isn't that weird?
But I think the problem is that I know a little bit about what happens to your physical body. Your physical body, if it stays in the ground long enough, there's not going to be any bones.
Well, like, they found skeletons and remains that have been 5,000 years old.
Well, but there's some that dry up.
So it's not so much that it's the physical bones in the sense of the molecules of whatever that is. And that dissolving, I thought you brought a great point up. If these tabernacles were dissolved, it doesn't matter because he's going to be able to gather whatever it is And he calls it the dust. Gather you from the dust. And that's exactly what Ecclesiastes talks. From dust you came and dust you shall. So it's not like there has to be a skeleton even.
Yeah, I
agree with that. I have no problem with that. Do you understand what he's saying, Terry?
Yeah.
Wayne? I mean, it doesn't take a physical body, but whatever left of you is you. There's
eaten by something. Eventually that's going to die. Eventually that's going to
leave you. Absolutely.
That DNA is still floating around.
DNA, yes. Well, do you all understand that there's nothing left in the grave when the resurrection happens? That was my point tonight. How many got that?
Amen.
There's nothing left in the grave. It didn't happen in Ezekiel 37. They've been there a long time.
I don't think that what power God has put, that's made available to our understanding of the universe changes. I mean, those matter is not ever destroyed.
No, that's true.
And so.
Well, and that's where some of the New Age stuff gets their links.
There's a lot
absolutely.
Of truth. There's a lot of truth
and there is a lot of truth to that.
Well, when he says the verse that Mack was referencing about if this tabernacle will dissolve, then the next verse says we have a building of God in the heavens. So, how does that work out?
Well, I believe that building is whatever body you're going to come back into, in a sense, of whatever this gets changed into.
So it's going to come down and meet me at the grave when I resurrect.
Yes. Well, I'm not done with this. We're going to deal a little bit more. But let me ask you this basic question. How many understand resurrection is from the grave?
Amen.
And that what is in the grave comes completely clean out of it.
Amen.
Whatever's there. Bone dust.
I think another.
In Lazarus' case, he came out in clothes. It hadn't even rotted yet.
I think another incident that everybody put forth, thinking that God is saying grave as in earthly stuff. But I really feel that's not necessary.
Well, it is in resurrection a physical earthly grave. Who? Oh no, that would still be your grave. Yeah. Wherever your remains come to rest. Yeah, that's a good point. I agree with that. So you all understand, it's not like I think it was Dale that mentioned being eaten by a lion. Well, you could come to rest all the way through the jungle, you know. Right. Exactly. But wherever that point of entrance is, that is also the point of exit.
Right. Because like if you're crewmates, so you get on an airplane and just start throwing your dust out over 2 or 3 cameras.
You are going to be huge when you come out. You know, my suggestion for those that do cremation is keep it to small little piles. All right, I'm done. Hope everybody enjoyed it tonight.